to Ephesians chapter 6. Therein is our text. It's the armor of God section in the Bible, talking about what we wrestle with. And what we need for the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, we begin at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Before we go to the message, I wanted to bring a thought to your mind that there are a lot of folks who are great in the faith. We talk about Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath. We talk about people who persevered despite odds and persecution. And we say, you know, those folks are really admirable. As I was thinking about the passage this week, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were put into the fiery furnace, that came to my mind. And I said, Lord, these folks seem to have something that other folks don't have. What is it? Well, all they had was they got to the other side of some very difficult circumstances somehow, and with God's help. And if we have a way to learn to incorporate God's help into those places in our lives where we're struggling and working, then we've got something. Then we've got something that other people can say, I wish I had what you had. The fact of the matter is, it's not what we have, it's what God has. And to learn to allow that to be present and utilize it in our lives is the task that the Holy Spirit's trying to work on us. In that understanding and toward that end, we look at this passage. But before we do, would you pause with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, so many examples of faith, a great cloud of witnesses around us. And sometimes we look at them and they seem to make it so easy. And yet life for us can sometimes be difficult and a struggle. And yet other times it seems we're the ones being looked up to. Heavenly Father, may we find your Spirit and your strength upon us this morning. May your word and your blessing for us come through now. Have us to know what you need us to know, and reach us where we need to be reached. Heavenly Father, it is by your Holy Spirit that we have been quickened. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself to us now. I ask you this, that your words would come across to us, and your message clear, no matter the words of the speaker. And to the end that that would happen, Heavenly Father, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Anybody ever have to question whether or not the devil's tricky? Think he's tricky? Think he knows our weaknesses a little bit? Think he tries to find a way to get to us so we don't trust God as much? Sometimes, huh? Well, that's his task, is to keep us from trusting God's provision, God's blessing, and God's victory in our life. As long as we can keep looking at the issue instead of God, the devil has his way with us. The enemy will come and confuse us. As long as there's confusion, you can't have clear thinking, and you certainly won't have a clear blessing that leads to victory. And what God's trying to do for us in our lives is to show us that there is a better way than living struggling, living less than what God could do for us. Now, I want to share with you a couple of things about this passage that really bring this to the front. In the first verse I read, verse 10, it says that we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In other words, not in of ourselves, not me, not you, but the strength is from God. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, when I'm weak, God is strong. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so what we do is we come to God with our weakness. And what happens when we do that, we begin to see that our weakness is the exact point where the enemy attacks us and tries to get us along our fears or our pride or our jealousy or our anger, whatever issue we're dealing with or that we have not yet been willing to deal with and bring to God's mercy for healing, for cleansing, and for new life. And when God begins to work on that stuff, He's not doing it in the midst of the battle. God is trying to do that before you ever come against the enemy. He'll sometimes bring something to your heart or your attention, sometimes in a message on Sunday morning, sometimes at other times in your life. God will just say, you know, you need to work on this. And you go, okay, I will later. But when later happens, you're in the midst of the battle, and that is your opening for the devil to attack. Your weakness, he attacks. The devil won't attack your strength. Because you're strong in that area, and you're always on guard in your strong areas, it's your weak places. The places where you have strongholds that aren't based in God. The devil kind of works his way in there, and he says, ah, there you go, you know, remember when God told you about that and you didn't work on it? Try now. And you can't. Because now you're having to fight from your weakness instead of your strength. And God's always trying to bring your weakness to the forefront so you can turn it into a strength. He wants your weakness to be built up, but to be built up in His strength. Maybe you never considered it like this, but when you're beginning to grow in grace and in the faith, when God begins to work on you, He begins to change you from the inside. And He'll bring something to your mind and He'll say, now this is your weak point. What I want to do is get you, first of all, aware of it. The second thing I want to do is bring it to the light of God's Word and then let you be dealt with along those lines. However, a lot of times we resist that and say, God, you're meddling. You're in my backyard, God. You're stepping on my toes. I'm not ready yet. Who knows the heart of your life more than God? Do we have the right, like Job, to question God's timing? I'm not ready, God. God says, well, I've looked and you are. You need this because there's a battle coming and you are not ready. There's an old song, I can't remember exactly the title of it, but it goes, it's so big, I can't get around it. So high, I can't get over it. So deep, I can't get under it. And it's behind me, around me, and over me. I guess I'll go through it. You know, it's not an option that the battle is coming. It does not say in the Scripture that you may wrestle against principalities and powers in spiritual wickedness in high places in the power of the air. It doesn't say you might. It says we do. How would you like to go into the battle not yet ready? How would you like to send a soldier overseas to learn how to fight? Okay, here's a gun. Go fight this guy. How do you load it? I don't know, but go fight.
here, shoot this bazooka. How do you hold it? I don't know. Go fight and find out. Well, that's how we are as believers if we don't allow God to train us and get us ready for the battle. The fact is, you can't go around it. God is going to bring you to a place where He's going to change you through your struggles in life. He's going to hone, refine you, polish you as a lively stone, and bring you to a new place where you weren't before. And that process isn't always pleasant, but it's a lot better than going into the battle without having dealt with it. I don't like taking Fall Guys, but apparently this fellow's on my heart for some reason. You might remember the story of that televangelist who had a problem. And his problem got him in big trouble. And he came before his church, apologized, they embraced him, and he did it again. He admitted it, but he didn't confess it. He didn't get it out of the system. He didn't get it healed and dealt with. And God wants to work in us to change those patterns and thoughts and lifestyles that destroy us in the battle. Because once we're there, if it's our weakness, God will not be able to challenge us during the battle. The enemy will. And the enemy's crafty. When you're working with folks in addiction, I'll tell you one thing. There is a saying that's so true. One is too many, and 1,000 is not enough. And what that simply means is it isn't all of those that they drink that hurts them. It's the first one, because they've justified something that will destroy them. Think about that. When God brings something to your mind, you go, I'm not ready for you to deal with that yet. You're saying, God, I'm still not ready for that thing which is killing me, that sin or behavior or whatever it is God's bringing to your attention. I'm not ready yet to let it stop killing me, ruining my fellowship. I'm still ready to get beat up along those lines. That's like saying, I'm taking the boxing gloves off, God. Okay, I'm ready. Let's fight. Oh, I need boxing gloves? Yes. You also need a good corner and training. God needs to show you how to put on His armor. Because we don't wrestle about things that are physical. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're wrestling something that we don't understand by our mind. To put it this way, self-will does not win the battle. You can't defeat the enemy just because you want to. You can't will it. You can't make it happen. All you can do is say, God, I've been in the trenches with you before the battle, and I'm still standing. Catch the progression here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and we wrestle with these things. But we're strong in the Lord as we wrestle them. God's strength will guide us if we also allow it to guide us when we're not in the battle. For some reason, I don't know about you, but I don't like these slogans that folks have on t-shirts and posters that say, well, if I continue to live as a scoundrel, I'll be happy when I die and I'm going to the bad place because all my friends will be there. You know, that's saying, I got it good no matter where I go. That's saying, I don't need to change because I'll have friends. But you don't have friends if you don't have friends now who will stick with you and bring you to a new light and a new understanding of your relationship with God. If you think about it a moment, all your craftiness, all your skill in managing this life don't work when you come up against the enemy. They don't work because you cannot defeat the devil. Careful now. Don't go too fast on me. You cannot defeat the devil. All right? Jesus Christ has defeated the devil, and with Christ in you, you have authority over him. But without that, and not exercising that authority, you're stuck. If you take a look, I like this because Paul talks about the whole armor of God. You need to take it. You need to be intentional about it. And he says that you have to have truth and righteousness and peace, the gospel of peace on your feet, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. Do you know what faith does, don't you? What that shield does, it says it blocks the darts of the evil one, the wicked fiery darts. What that's talking about is when the devil or your enemy starts coming and saying, listen, I'm going to make you scared. I'm going to take what's yours. I'm going to challenge you at your very foundation. And you start to say, I belong to God. My faith is in Him. Even though I can't see Jesus right now, I believe in Him, and you can't come against that. And so you're blocking off those lies. But if you don't have that shield of faith, those lies are hitting you. And you're going, well, I know it says something in the Bible about that somewhere. And let me look it up. By that time, he's come with something else, and now doubt's crept in, and you're in trouble. Big trouble. But God begins to work on us, and He says three things. Three offensive tools that we can use, and only three. The main one is prayer, or praying in the Spirit. Prayer is a weapon when we wrestle. You have to pray, but you also have to pray before it ever happens too. Can't be something that just, okay, now I'm going to start praying. Like there's no atheists in foxholes? Guess what? There should be no atheists before you get to the foxhole. When you know the battle is coming. You can't say, well, I didn't know. Scripture says you're going to have to go through it. Every person will face this battle. Prayer should be before you ever enter. Second thing it says is when the evil comes, you overcome evil with good, loving, kindness. Now, that sometimes works, but then it lists for us a third tool. And it's powerful. Powerful tool. It says it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now you all might say, well, that means I got to know the Bible. But that doesn't say in the Greek the logos, which is Scripture of God. But the rhema. Rhema is a fresh utterance, if you will, from God. A confidence or an authority that you have. A command that you know you have authority over the situation. If God says, like He did to Paul, you're going to testify to me in Rome. And Paul's in Jerusalem at the time, I believe, and they're wanting to kill him. It might have been Ephesus, I don't remember at this moment. But I remember they're trying to kill him, and they got a plot. And Paul says, I'm scared, because this plot's coming, and Jesus comes and steps beside him and says, I tell you again, you're going to testify of me in Rome. And so that plot is thwarted. And Paul does make it to Rome. But wouldn't he, when someone comes up and says, Paul, you're going to die tonight, he says, no, Jesus said, I'm testifying in Rome, and I am. Now listen to that. The statement of, I am this person Jesus said I am. This is who He said I am. This is my purpose. I don't care what someone says about it. If Jesus said it, I can swing forth that sword, and it's my offensive. That's how I cut new paths through the woods. It's by saying, this is who I am and this is where I go forward by God's leading. It's the spoken command of God on your life. And when you take ownership of it, you're swinging that sword and the devil cannot come against that. If you resist him, he must flee. But you have to resist him with the Word of God on you. Yes. Each one of us has a Word of God on us. A purpose, a hope, a plan to give you a future and a hope. Each one of us has a blessing that God has established on us. That is the Word that you speak as the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4 says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between joint
and marrow, soul, and spirit. So it is that it cuts through all that junk of the enemy. It's sharper than a sword. It clears the path in the dark and fearful battles. Yes, it's true. The only way out is through. Sometimes we don't know where it's going to happen or how, but God has promised us there will be affliction for the righteous. The psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. It also says, but God will deliver you out of them all. God will deliver you. So what do? We stand in the truth with the hope of salvation, knowing we are who God said we were, and we swing that truth around us, and we let God deliver us. I was telling a story at Linton about a time when I was in college. First year in college, I was 18 years old. I didn't know anything about it. I was registering for classes, and they said, hey, you need to go get your books. So I went down to the bookstore, and I saw the price, and I only had 2 cents. And I said, God, you called me to preach. You called me to come to this school, and now all I got is 2 cents to my name. You know, 2 cents just doesn't buy a whole lot of books in college. Won't even buy a receipt. Let alone books. And I went back to my dorm room and I began to weep on my bed and I said, God, I came this far and I failed and I failed. My roommate comes up and he says, hey, what you upset about? I said, I can't afford my books and I've got to have them for class or I failed, I've ruined. This is where I was at in the faith at the time, that was a big deal. Books. Not being able to buy books. And he said, well, did you ask God about it and tell him? I said, no, I've just got 2 cents. What God do about it? My parents can't do it. I don't know what to do. And he said, just ask God. And I said, okay. So I prayed and I said, God, I need books. That's all I could say. God, I need books for class. You brought me here and I'm stuck. Shortly thereafter, a friend came up and said, hey, let's go for a walk on campus. And I said, hey, that's the place, you know, the church where I gave my heart to Christ. Maybe I'll find some peace there. We walked into the bookstore and he got his books and he had a book slip there. And I said, what's that? He said, that's a book slip. I said, where do you get those? He says, you don't get them. They issue you them at registration. Did you not go to the table where it says book slips and things like that? I said, No, I didn't know anything about that. And he said, just go there and get you one. I said, I don't have any money. He says, you don't have to. It's covered by your grants or your student loan, and you just get it like a credit. And I said, how much? He said, how much you need? And I said, I need a lot. I got a lot of books. And he walked me over to the registrar, and he said, this guy needs a book slip. They handed me one to cover my book needs, paper, pencils, pens, supplies, a college t-shirt, a bumper sticker, a window decal. All this stuff, I went nuts with this thing. And all of a sudden, I said, as I was carrying all this stuff, I said, boy, I was so stupid to be worried about. I'm just so dumb. And I said, well, God, I don't even know why I asked you about this. It was just, and that's when it hit me. When all of a sudden you feel stupid for worrying, because the answer was so simple. It's that God had it all in mind already. Wouldn't it be so nice to go into the battle with that same confidence and say, I'm not going to worry. I may be concerned, but I'm not going to worry because God's got it taken care of. I'm okay. God knows what I need. He's told me. He's brought me to this place for this purpose. He's not going to leave me hung out to dry. And so Paul says, all you have to do is stand in the truth, knowing you belong to God with your salvation, you're righteous in Jesus Christ, and be ready to talk about His Word at any moment. Almost sounds easy, doesn't it? But you wait, because after that simple book test, they get bigger. And those old ones look simple now. And the ones you face after that challenge you in your character in other ways. And I think that as we look at our lives, we see God brings us through bigger and greater trials. And it's always the current one that is the worst. But it is along the lines of your weakness where that comes. Always. The devil never attack where you're ready. He'll always attack where you're not ready to give something over to God. I kind of think of it like this. A friend of mine was preaching in seminary, and this is how I'd like to close. A buddy of mine named Sam was preaching, and he said, I used to be a drinker. I used to be, this long before I knew him, he was all this, and a smoker. And he said, when I would like to go out and drink and smoke, I'd ask guys for a cigarette and they wouldn't give me one. I'd ask them for something to drink and they wouldn't give me a thing. They said, you could go get your own. Provide for your own. And he said, when I came to Jesus Christ and I was done with that, when that no longer was a weakness in my life and my strength was I didn't need that, my friends would come around and try to lure me back. And they'd say, hey, would you like a beer? How'd you like a cigarette? And I'd smile and say, you're attacking me in the wrong place because that's my strength. Because God has removed me from that person to the person I am now. And he could no longer be challenged on that level. But previously, if they had offered that to him, he'd say, oh yeah, got another? But when it's no longer your weakness, there is no ground that the enemy can take from you. Kind of like this, you're taking the territory back. And that's what we're trying to do. But, don't try. Let God do it. And you stand in what He tells you. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes we try with all our might and then we ask you and somehow something happens and it works out. And we say, well, I was just so silly. I should have remembered that. I should have known that was going to happen. And I don't know why I was even worried. Heavenly Father, those are the lines of our lives which you work on, trying to build us up, encourage us and remind us that the battle belongs to you and the victory is ours. May we stand now, having done all we could to stand, knowing that you have fought the battle already. May we let it mold us, fashion us to be the person you want us to be. Amen.